Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, and we'd like to invite you to come on out this coming Sunday. But right now, I've got the Bible open to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. And this is the first miracle where where he turned water into wine. And it's interesting that in the 10 plagues in Egypt, the deliverance of the Jews from bondage as slaves in Egypt, that the first plague was the turning of water into blood. And here, Christ turns water into wine. And of course, in the Bible, wine, the bread and wine of communion, wine is often a symbol for blood, and specifically Christ's blood. So the very first plague in the book of Exodus was the turning of water into blood. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And Jesus Christ, his first miracle was the turning of water into wine, which is symbolic that the Old Testament symbols, the symbols of the Old Testament, would be turned into the blood of the covenant, in Christ's blood. And so his first miracle was turning water into wine to indicate the purpose of why he has come. Because the Old Testament was all symbolic, and in the New Testament, he would actually be fulfilling those symbols by shedding his own blood. And so while the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, at the end of Christ's earthly ministry, the last thing he did in his earthly body was to be crucified. He is the Son of God. So God the Father allowed his firstborn to die, to shed his blood, so that we could be forgiven of our sins if we ask God, if we were humble and we ask God for salvation, to forgive us. And so it's just so amazing. Jesus Christ is the living water, and by being washed in his blood, that is our sins, we should pay the penalty for our sins. And God just can't make believe there are no sins. So what he does is he deals with the sin by punishing Jesus Christ, who willingly accepted our punishment. And so the story of the Bible, it all fits together. And when Mary came to Jesus and said they ran out of wine, in the four Gospels, and especially the Gospel of John, Jesus spiritualized things. He used symbols. So when they had no water, he was referring to living water. And when they had no food, he said the food is to do the will of my Father. And when Mary said they have no wine, Jesus was talking about blood, the wine of the covenant, the blood covenant. So when she said to Jesus they have no wine, he said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And that phrase about his hour appears repeatedly in the Gospels, I think 6 times. And the five other times, it's clearly about his death and resurrection. And here it's at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. And so, of course, he's not yet ready to provide the blood for the covenant. And so he says, "My hour has not yet come." And then when it's time for him to be crucified, he said, "My hour has come." So this turning the water into wine was a symbol of the purpose of his ministry. And that's why Jesus did this first. And it harkens back to the first plague of turning the water into blood. And then the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. So the Bible is one story written by dozens of men in different languages on different continents, but telling one story of our salvation. You're invited to Denver Bible Church, and now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. If you'd like to comment on the interview I had last night, we aired with Alan Combs, then please feel free to call 1-800-8-ENYART. A couple liberals were gloating today, one that Alan Combs won and that I had my clock cleaned. So I'd like to know what you think, if you feel like talking about it. Our phone number, if you heard the interview last night with Alan Combs, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. His publisher, you know, they normally send you the book when you're going to interview an author. Here's Red, White, and Liberal, How Left is Right and Right is Wrong. And we just got the book today. It's good timing, just a day late. But anyway, so now maybe I'll get a chance to look at it. But all right, I'd like to know what you think about if you're inclined to give us a call, 1-800-8-ENYART, and talk about the Alan Combs interview. We've got some news to do. Ozzy Osbourne's doctors said his recovery should take some months. What I'm wondering about is how will they know when he's recovered? How are they going to figure that out? And then we've told France and Germany and Russia and Canada that they can't even bid on for contracts in Iraq. And feel free to call in, tell us what you think about that. But right now, let's go to the phones in Delphi, Indiana. Wally, speak your mind.
Bob Enyart.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
Hey, I got a question for you and your listeners.
All right.
I'm sure you've got the brightest audience in the nation.
Yeah.
And I want to ask this question.
It's documented. Go ahead.
What does Paris Hilton and our justice system have in common?
She's the one with the reality show?
Yeah, she also made some tawdry sex video, and I guess she's got a couple of them out, actually. She's the Hilton Hotel heiress.
Oh, good. You know, okay.
I know you can answer this.
I'm stumped. I'm stumped. Let's see. The justice system, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just the system. So
okay.
Paris, what's her name? Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton. She's on this reality TV show called A Simple Life.
Yeah.
Her and one of her friends go down to Alabama or somewhere like that and basically make fun of regular folks. And
yeah. All right. You're going to have to tell us, Wally.
All right. This is the deal. First of all, they're complete failures.
Oh.
Secondly.
All right. Well, so it's not a joke. Go ahead.
Secondly, they both work at destroying women.
All right.
Paris Hilton does a complete job on objectifying women and making women appear as objects.
Yeah, right.
Now, our justice system, have you heard about this Drew Jourdan case?
Yeah, no, all liberalism in Hollywood generally does that, right? Treating women like objects.
Treating women like objects.
To be bid on at auction and filth in the gutter. So, yeah, all right.
Now, our justice system released this serial rapist pervert who should have been basically put to death 25 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And there's pretty strong evidence against this fellow. They found Drew Jourdan's blood, some blood matched DNA in this guy's car.
And a knife in her blood. Now, last I heard, it was her blood type, but I haven't heard the DNA test yet.
Now, Bob, liberals... You know, and you've had this interview last night where you were talking with us liberals. Liberals are destroying our country. When Thomas Jefferson wrote, we have the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, happiness doesn't mean that you have the right to be as immoral as you want.
Right.
Yeah, that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
And a lot of these lefty perverts think that's what it means. Mm. And it's destroying our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you get a chance to hear Alan Combs last night?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
All right, that's all right. That's all right. We put out the offer for anyone who would like to call in to voice their opinion on how that went. I was not happy with it at all. There were a couple highlights, but generally, you know, Alan Colmes was an invited guest, and he's a celebrity, and I didn't feel like I had the position to put him on hold, telling him to answer the question. You know, when he's a guest, you somewhat, when you invite a guest, you have to somewhat put up with them if they're a bit bad-mannered.
Right.
And that's what happened, and it was a bit discouraging. I would have hoped we would have had a better conversation.
Well, ask him back again, but explain maybe some ground rules to him at first.
Well, that could be. You know, normally Alan Colmes is, as a co-host on Hannity and Colmes, he gets a lot of grief for the liberals really are angry with him, and they say he's a wimp, and that he lets Sean, you know, walk all over him. In fact, I think Al Franken in his recent book was saying Alan Colmes' autobiography is titled "And Now Back to You, Sean," which is
Al Franken. There's another lefty for you.
Yeah. But so anyway, I think that maybe Alan Colmes is responding to these constant accusations that he's letting conservatives walk over him, and he's, you know, deciding to get more aggressive. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, maybe some other callers can maybe put that groundwork.
Well, Wally, thank you very much for your call.
Bob, one more question.
Yeah.
And maybe you've talked about this already. This the suspect in the Strujardin case,
yeah,
the serial rapist.
Yeah.
What do you think the liberal justice system is going to do with this guy when they find him guilty?
They'll have him, let's see.
Give him the big fluffy pillow treatment?
Yeah, they'll keep him warm in winter, cool in summer, feed him, clothe him, educate him, medicate him, entertain him. Yeah.
That's pathetic.
Volleyball, foosball, basketball, softball.
And cable TV.
Cable TV videos. You could.
All right, Bob. See you later. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Wally. God bless you. That's how we try to scare rapists straight here in this country. All right. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, that and that rapist, the convicted rapist, Alfonso Rodriguez Jr., when they picked him up, they had reason to believe he had abducted Drew and that he, you know, he likely knew where she was, whether alive or dead. And it seems like we should at least, in that situation, we should at least be able to use drugs, use sodium pentothal, truth serum, and try to find out if he knows where she's at. But, hey, we'll be back in a moment. Call us with your opinions, 1-800-8-NYART.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
What a great DVD we have. It's the new Mount Sinai. It's actually called Mountain of Fire, The Search for the True Mount Sinai. And this DVD, it is such a, we don't have it in VHS. We only have it in DVD, believe it or not. But it's worth buying a DVD just to see it, a DVD player just to see it if you don't have one. If you don't have a DVD player, you have to have a computer, no? And computers play DVDs. Unless you have some kind of old computer that probably you didn't even plug in. You had to wind it up. But if you have any newer computer, it'll play a DVD, and you're going to want to see this video because it is so cool. The evidence that still exists, a mountain of evidence of the story of the Exodus when God delivered the Jews out of Egypt. And this is just, we didn't put together this video. Most of our videos, we've got 20 videos or so we've produced, but I think we have 4 third-party videos. This is one of them. You are going to love it. Mount Sinai. And you can call us, 1-800-8-NYART, and order it, or go online to kgov.com and check it out. One 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, a sad note, the death of another young homosexual in the media in Denver. This is Mark Sheldon. If you listen to classical music in Denver, 90.1 FM, KVOD, he died age 43. So, you know, just sad, sad. All right, let's see here. Oh, and Howard Dean has a plan. Now, Al Gore has given Howard Dean his endorsement, and so did Senator Paul Simon a week before he died. He just died, right? So Senator Paul Simon will, I wonder if he'll be able to register for a political party in hell. I don't think they have a voter registration drives in hell. I don't think. But he knows for sure right about now. But Howard Dean has suggested a plan to provide college students with $10,000 a year in federal aid as part of spending another $7 billion on higher education from your tax dollars. And that's the way people get elected. Even George W. Bush, they offered to give people who already have a lot of money more money, like give senior citizens $400 billion from younger people in the middle class, and that'll help him get reelected. And Howard Dean, here, he wants to give $7 billion to universities. Well, he's doing it through college students. And think through this just for one moment. Then we'll get to the phones. We're going to go to Colorado, a call on Alan Combs, and then Texas, a call on welfare. But if Howard Dean says college students are struggling, so we want to give them $10,000 a year in federal financial aid. Right? Now, what would that do to the cost of an education, a cost of a college degree? How much might a college degree go up per year if the federal government gave all college students $10,000 each? Well, if you're thinking somewhere around $10,000, now, that wouldn't be overnight, but generally, if the federal government makes available more money for people to go to college, then that's the amount of money that universities will increase their tuition and room and board and books and fees. And also on campus, of course, the drug dealers will raise their rates. It'll all go up, you know, proportionately. All right, let's go to Colorado. Salton, Colorado. Lori, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hi, Lori. Bob and Yard.
Hi.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
Real well.
Good. Listen, I wanted to ask you, Bob, with this interview last night with old, what's his name?
Alan Combs.
Yes, him. Were you trying to be nicer than God there?
Oh, I guess you're right. I guess you got me there, Lori.
I did.
I guess. I was... Yeah, I was trying to be polite to him being the guest, and it caught me a little off guard that he was, basically rude or almost obnoxious in talking over the questions and the responses.
Yes, indeed. That's about all he did is talk over you.
Now,
and that's,
yeah.
that's probably why some people thought he won the argument.
Well, yeah, and he invited liberals in the audience to call in to carry the torch. So I would say that if there's anyone who thinks that Alan Combs was making a good point on any one point, they should call in and expand upon it.
Right.
And so then we can actually have a dialogue and see if the point holds water.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a dialogue, was it?
No, but you know, that was my fault. Like, say tonight on O'Reilly O'Reilly, he had a guest on who was doing a monologue, and so he cut his mic, basically put him on hold, and said, "Now control yourself. We're not going to have monologues here," and then brought him back. And that's, you could do that, you know, and I've done that 100 times with callers, but when you invite a celebrity to a show, it's harder to do that.
Yes, I understand the circumstances you were under, but I still think you did a magnificent job.
Oh, that's nice of you, Lori.
Yeah, you'll give me 10 minutes to cut that out, right?
That's right. And you know what? I'm just a little too nice. I'm going to have to be more mean.
Yeah, but
all right.
You still do okay, Bob.
Lori, God bless you. Thanks for your call.
Okay. God bless you, Bob.
Appreciate that. That's right. Give her 10 minutes. In Maybank, Texas, Tom, speak your mind.
Bob.
Yes, sir.
Before I ask my question, I would like to give you my opinion on that rapist in North Dakota.
All right.
I'd cut a deal with him.
Yeah.
You're surprised to hear that from me, aren't you?
Yeah, we know you as a caller, Tom. You're pretty hardcore right wing.
Here's the deal I would cut with him, though. I would say you have until sunup tomorrow to tell us where the body is, or this is the deal. You get turned over, you get the firing squad, or I turn you over to the
family,
to her parents.
Yeah.
To the father and the brother.
Yeah, now that's a good, Tom, that's a very good deal. That's a good deal. And I wouldn't mind adding a little truth serum with that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But that's good thinking.
They should have done that the minute they picked them up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
absolutely
she
right.
She could possibly have been alive when they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still don't know the tragic details. And we may not find them out until Judgment Day, but we will find them out on Judgment Day.
We sure will.
Yeah, and he...
And I think the people that protected the killer are going to be held complicit in the crime.
Well, do you mean the people who released him from prison, who didn't execute him in the first place?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. When you... God says if you don't kill the people who should be killed, that you are profaning God.
And keeping people alive who should be put to death.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Oh.
And killing people who should be kept alive. The babies in the womb.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
All right, here's my question, Bob. Last night, I went to a Christian dinner.
Yeah.
It was kind of a fundraiser. And it was a nationally known Christian evangelist of good standing. I'm not going to mention his name on your show.
All right.
And they showed a film, and they made a collection, and they showed a film of digging water wells in Rwanda.
And I
watched this show, and the only people I saw working were the Americans and the missionaries.
Right.
And I sat there, and being a disciple of Bob Vineyard,
I think it's better to be a disciple of the Lord, Tom.
Well.
But I know what you mean.
Let's put a student.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I said, why aren't the Rwanda men helping dig these wells? Why don't I see people working? This looks to me like Christian welfare.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, maybe a good thing to dig. When I was a kid, you know, we dug our own wells. That's not rocket science, you know. Do we have to dig wells for people?
In other words, you have a perfect opportunity if you want to help out the Tutsis and the Hutus down there in Rwanda. Well, then, if you're going to go there to help them and they need wells dug, well, then you hire them to dig the wells.
I think, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right, of course, because then...
Maybe you could help them with some equipment?
Oh, yeah, and even finances. That's reasonable if you want to help them in that way. But then you're doing two things. Really, you're doing a number of things, but you're not only providing them with a new well, but you're training them on how to work in a new industry. And then those Rwandans could go off after you long have forgotten them, and they could be digging wells for other people.
And, you know, when you work digging a well, if someone comes along and tries to take it away from you, you'll fight for it.
Yeah.
But if somebody else digs it for you, you don't put any value on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, you know, if I was just being too hard, you know, but it seems to me like Christians can do as much damage with welfare as the government can.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right about that. But it's not that it would be a sin to dig the well for them. It's just that it lacks wisdom. You know, unless there was some absolute reason why Rwandans couldn't be put to work digging their own wells, but that's not likely. It's just a general lack of wisdom. Christians we're in the welfare business. We support George W. Bush expanding welfare so into church fare so that churches will become the middlemen. That's how messed up we Christians have become.
But, you know, the way I look at it, if it's wrong for the government to do it, then it's doubly wrong for the church to be doing it.
Well, it depends what you're talking about.
We should know better.
Well, yeah. Welfare is wrong. It's wrong. Welfare is a sin because the government has no right to take our money and give it to other people. That's a crime. God has authorized the government to do criminal justice and infrastructure like roads and bridges and waterways and airwaves. And that's it. Those two just functions, infrastructure and criminal justice, including defense. And so when the government says, well, we're going to help people with their health care and education and housing and diapers and whatever, then the government is stealing our money to give it to others. And generally, that's rather destructive. So it's definitely a sin for anyone to support welfare or for the government to implement it. And then the things they do with the money tend to be counterproductive or destructive, the tragedy of American compassion. But then if you as an individual, if you say, I'm going to take my money and I'm going to help people with it, well, that's a huge challenge. Most people don't realize how hard it is to help people with money. It's more often counterproductive, more often. Sometimes
I've seen that in my lifetime, you know. People that, you know, that don't work for something, they just don't value it.
Even if you give, you got a kid who's going to college and you give him a new car, or even you're paying for his college and he becomes a drunk while he's going to college. Or, you know, there's a thousand ways that works. It's very hard to help young people with money. Or poor countries with money. It's very hard. But it's not necessarily a sin unless you're violating some biblical principles. We'll be right back. Hello to those tuning in via the web at kgov.com. Welcome to the show. Hey, our store, we're just so thrilled about our store here at Bob and Yurt Live. And we sent out our catalog, and we got a renewed interest in the store because the catalog points people to kgov.com all over the place. Order by calling 800-8-NYART or go to kgov.com in the store. And now, of course, predictably, there are fewer people going to the store and ordering, but it's still not too late for Christmas. So think about some of these videos. And when you go to the store, kgov.com, you could read a lot more about our materials. And you might want to check, if you're thinking about gifts, check out the videos. And for those listening to Bob and Ert Live in Denver via KLTT Radio, welcome. This is a live commercial break. We were just talking on the internet at kgov.com about that it's not quite too late to order some Christmas presents from Bob and Ert Live. And the best might be a video. Now, on the web at kgov.com, you could go to our online store. And we have, with our partners, we have Cafe Press, and they've got the most beautiful mugs, clocks, bibs, and onesies for little infants, and T-shirts and sweatshirts with the Bob and Ert Live logo or Does God Exist, Bob and Ert versus Zaketh debate. But you also may want to consider our videos. We've got some of the greatest videos, and they're good for gifts, especially Unlocking the Mysteries of Life and The Search for the Real Mount Sinai and Mount St. Helens and Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. So we've got fun, fun stuff. In the next break, I'm going to tell you about two phone calls that we got today in the office, just people calling and telling us about some of our materials. And I'll let you know. And it's we like you to get a feel for what it's like to be here and hear the feedback. So that's in the next break. NER 1-800-836-9278. And that phone number, our lines are open, 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, Tom had mentioned if you dig a well with your own hands. And in the book of Genesis, Abraham rebuked a king. The king was Abimelech. Abimelech is the title, like Pharaoh or Ahasuerus, Abimelech. And Pharaoh rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Tom's point was good, and you could see it in the Bible, that when you dig a well, it's a lot of work. And you take pride and ownership in your land, in your work, which you should do. And Rwanda really needs that. All right, let's go to the phones. Especially if you have a comment about Alan Combs and the interview last night, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Wayne, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing there, Ms. Danyart?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I enjoyed the interview yesterday. I was very disappointed in Mr. Combs. And you know, but what I've noticed from so many liberals is that is so much. So many of the types of tactics they use. Hmm. You know, they talk over you, or they do run-on questions or run-on answers, you know, and they refuse to answer questions.
Yeah.
And then they walk away, and then they act like they've actually won something.
Well, like if he would have said to me when I was on his show a few weeks ago for an hour, if he would have said, Bob, you conservatives believe in absolutes.
Yeah,
absolute morality, and we liberals, we believe in relativism. I would have said, Alan, that's true. But
yeah.
But I said that, and every attempt to explain or give an example of liberalism, of their belief system, he denied it. Every one. So maybe after 44 years, I have no idea what a liberal is, I guess. I guess.
Well, you know, but again, it goes back to so much of why the liberals are losing ground more and more, you know, in many of the areas in our country. I mean, they've got strong influence, but when those ideas come to fruition and people see them for what they really are,
right,
they don't work. They simply don't work, and those pat answers, or I should say pat non-answers that they give, you know, those don't work either when the real deal comes down.
Right. So, all right. Hey, Wayne, I appreciate that. Do you have anything, could you think of anything specifically that he mentioned that you thought was a cliche or a non-answer?
No, I was so disgusted with him. I didn't even want to think about it.
Well, then,
you know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it was worth us doing, or would it have been better not even to do the segment?
Oh, I absolutely. I love your debates. I've ordered a number of your tapes, and I love the debates. And, you know, I used to think that, well, you know, why argue with these people? But you know what? I don't know what. It was just a thought that popped in my mind. Those arguments and these debates are really, really important in my eyes because of one thing. The liberals have had, and they still have, much of the media.
Right, right.
And they have so much where they espouse their views. And mm-hmm. their views mainly come through their words. Mm-hmm. And when nobody debates them, it's just like anything else. They people begin to think those things are true.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. I think, you know, one highlight was when Alan Combs admitted that he had no idea that adultery was a crime in America.
That was shocking.
You know, for hundreds of years, from when our first colonies were founded, for a couple hundred years after we became a nation, practically a couple hundred years, adultery was a crime.
Yes.
And
yes.
Liberals, right, one of the points that we conservatives make is that liberals don't appreciate history, tradition, traditional values, morality, and they have new morality and new ideas, but they don't know what the old ideas were, why they were, when they were, how they originated, what the purpose is. They don't know what the purpose of marriage is. Alan Combs seemed to imply that it was only a religious thing and that's it.
Yes, yes. Well, and I think that you know, many of them don't know it, especially the younger ones, because they haven't been taught it. You know, the public schools sure aren't going to teach them anything.
No, right.
And then many of their parents, they've been dumbed down. Mm. I mean, I've talked to many people who, for instance, well, we may be talking about government, and I'll say, well, I don't think this guy should be a governor or whatever because he's a homosexual or whatever.
Right.
And they'll say, well, what does that have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that it's a character issue.
Right.
You know, when you talk to a guy, if he has a low amount of character in most of his life, well, a lot of those same people, they might say that, but when it comes to hiring that guy as a babysitter, they're not going to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to hiring that guy to fix your car, they're not going to hire him.
Right.
But in the public arena,
but for
liberals will. I'm sorry.
But for governor or president, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But they don't understand that still has consequences. You know,
yeah.
That same character is going to be signing our rights away. He's going to be doing a lot of things, and they think that it has no effect, and it's like they don't get it.
Right. Very good. Thank you very much, Wayne.
Oh, thanks again. God bless you, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate the call. 1-800-836-9278 in Denver at DIA at the airport. John, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you this evening?
Hello, sir. I'm doing well.
Great. I just had a question regarding stealing and about, you know, bootlegging movies and all that.
Yes.
What is the biblical penalty for purchasing, handling, or receiving stolen goods?
Ah, knowingly, you're the same. It's the same as the thief. So that if you get caught, generally, you have to repay twofold. But then there are other possibilities. Like if in the Bible, if you're a thief, you steal something, and then your conscience gets to you, or you're afraid you're going to get caught, and so you turn yourself in, you return the stolen goods, then God says you only have to add 20% or 1/5 of the value of what you stole to the victim. Whereas if you get caught, you steal. Let's say you steal $100 and you get caught.
Right.
Then the government should force you to pay back to the victim $200. And if you steal, let's say you steal a stereo that's worth $100, you get caught, you give back the stereo plus $100. If you turn yourself in, you bring back the stereo with the $20 bill. You say, I stole it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And the $20 bill is it's a smaller penalty, and God designed it to encourage thieves to turn themselves in.
And, ah.
But then if you steal a $100 stereo and then you sell it or destroy it, then you owe not twofold but threefold. So then you owe $300.
Okay. And the same applies to the person who purchases the material if they know it's stolen.
Yeah, if you purchase stolen property, you're knowingly a thief also. Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Because like out here, we're like we have like, you know, sometimes there's like these DVDs come in, and sometimes the guys go over to Hong Kong and they get these, and then they bring them back. And it's,
oh, right.
Like,
they're all bootleg movies. Yeah. Well, if employees at DIA are buying bootleg movies.
Well, a few of them.
Yeah, but I guess they figure that if they're going to watch pornography and destroy their lives, they might as well get a bargain on it.
Well, right. We're talking not just pornography. We're talking like big stuff.
You mean
like
we're talking about the Hollywood movies that are pornography anyway?
Well, yeah, Little Nemo and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, that's not pornography. No, right. But anyway, John, yeah, it's not right. It's stealing, just like sneaking into a movie theater. It's the same thing.
All right, so Hong Kong doesn't have any right to sell that stuff?
Or sneaking into a ski resort and not paying for your ski lift ticket. Yeah. Yeah, so all right, John. Hey, I appreciate the call. Excellent question.
All right, thank you.
God bless you. All right, now we're going to return to Lori, who said to our call screener, our call screener, she had another question. So, Lori, welcome back.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I forgot to tell you last call that for you not to worry about last night's interview.
Oh.
Because you have never lost a debate and you never will.
Well, I don't know, Lori.
I do.
Well, I don't.
Bob, I've listened to you for many, many years.
Yeah. Well, we.
And in my opinion, you have never lost a debate.
Well, okay. Now, we might have to get an objective analysis of that segment last night, because I definitely don't think. I do think that generally we win the debates on the show, but I don't think I could say that I won that debate last night. Maybe it was a draw.
Well, I would say that it wasn't one of your better ones.
No.
But I think that was because the circumstances were kind of beyond your control.
Well, it was a bit tough. But thank you, Lori, again. God bless you.
Okay.
And we will be right back. Bob Inyart here, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we had this a live commercial break. We had two calls today that I picked up in our studio offices here. And the one was about our tape, Is This Man God? It's in our album, The Gospel of John, Volume 1. And the other call was about the manuscript, The Debate, Does God Exist? Bob Inyart versus Zaketh. And so the first about the tape. All right. I got a call from a realtor in Denver, a commercial realtor, who said one of his customers who rents from him in a shopping center is a Christian who was going to debate some Jehovah's Witnesses. And the realtor said, well, you need this tape, Is This Man God? It's part of Bob Inyart's album on the Gospel of John, Volume 1, the first tape, John 1:1, Is This Man God? And so the business owner listened to the tape and used that in his 4-hour discussion with the Jehovah's Witnesses and got back to the realtor. And so I'm hearing it secondhand, but that it was just a very powerful tool. And so now he wants to read the plot manuscript, which I'm thrilled about. And the other caller said he's reading through the second time the debate, Does God Exist? Bob Benyart versus Zaketh. And I was thrilled to get that call because that's a 170-page debate. It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it was a debate on the internet in front of a live audience, sort of. It's written, 10-round moderated debate. And he said, Bob, it's better the second time through. It's such an exciting defense of the gospel and the existence of God. So you might want to read that. Does God Exist? one 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So we'll go to the phones here. But if Howard Dean gave college students another $10,000 a year toward their schooling, do you think that universities might increase their tuition? Do you think housing prices and apartment rents and homes for rent, you think those rental fees would increase in college towns? Do you think the price of goods and services in college towns would generally increase to the tune of somewhere around $10,000 a year? I wonder, does Howard Dean, does he not think through that? Is it that he just doesn't care or he's stupid? Which is it? Or he's not bright enough to think of that? If the federal government says we're going to give money to college students for their tuition and all, don't they know that then the universities will increase the tuition fees? They don't know that. And the poor kids will still have the same difficulty. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to Aurora and then Franklin, Tennessee. All right, let's see. Indiana. All right. Let's go to first, though, in Colorado, Aurora. Nathaniel, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, my friend? God bless you.
Thank you.
First of all, to God be the glory, you won the debate.
Won the debate?
Let me explain why.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't have to shoot a bird out the air. If a bird is stupid enough, he runs into the electrical wire and burns himself up.
You're funny, Nathaniel.
You see what I'm saying? This is truth. Sometimes all you get to do is give someone enough rope, and they build a noose and hang themselves.
And they hang themselves.
We heard Alan Combs, how he just run on talking stupidity, always denying what he really believed in.
Yeah.
His book called Red, White, and Liberal.
And then he denied it.
There's a verse in the Bible, he said how the left is right and the right is wrong.
Mm.
There's a verse in the Bible that says in the last days they will call good evil
and evil good.
Evil good.
Well, that was
his book tells that.
Well, that was the very first verse I opened up with was Ecclesiastes 10:2 by Solomon, and he was on hold at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I said Solomon 3,000 years ago wrote that a good man's heart is on his right and a fool's heart is on his left, and so maybe that was what got Alan off to the start. You know, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs,
mm-hmm.
the one that yelps got hit.
Yep.
And
yep.
Maybe he just was angry.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
from the get-go.
Of course he was.
I guess.
And again, people like that, liberals, cannot deal with truth and reality. They don't want no part of it. That's why he kept on talking on and on, making it hard for you to ask questions.
Yeah.
And he knew he probably had to, if you said the wrong thing, he would probably say, okay, listen, I got to go.
Right.
See?
Well,
but,
yeah.
But that... you just gave him enough rope, he hung himself.
All right.
Of course you won that debate because you had truth and he had stability.
All right, Nathaniel. Thank you for that
Bye,
vote.
My best friend.
Appreciate that vote of confidence there. 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Franklin, Indiana. Mark, speak your mind.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing well. Ah, this isn't Mark.
Excuse me?
This is Mark?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
In response to the last gentleman's call about the bird running into the wire.
Yeah.
Here in town a couple months ago, there was a man that was representing PETA was protesting at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be up there, and I asked him several questions, which led him into actually confessing that ultimately one of their agendas is to get everybody to become vegetarians.
Ah.
And to be able to put everybody that serves any kind of animal,
right,
for food, any kind of business that works with animals for food, out of business. And so I asked him the question,
yeah,
which is more feasible to consider the suffering?
Yeah.
The suffering of these animals, you know, for
right,
killing them to eat them, or the suffering of millions of American and worldwide people for putting them out of work because they can't pay their bills,
mm-hmm,
which was going to suffer first.
Right.
And he eventually just took his chicken outfit off, gave me a PETA video and some pamphlets, and left.
Oh, brother.
So I would want to know, would you like for me to send you that video? And
I would be thrilled. Mark, yeah. I have right here an article from AdBiz, you know, an advertising business publication.
Right.
And it's talking about this PETA, these anti-PETA TV ads that reveal the group's darker side. And there's an anti-PETA group called the Center for Consumer Freedom. And they got two TV ads that are running. And the first shows a woman talking about teaching her children to love and respect animals. But then she condemns PETA because PETA supports arson and other animal rights violence. And in the second spot, they talk about this guy, Rodney Coronado, who burned down a university research lab. And he's teaching students how to make fire bombs. And the president of PETA, Ingrid Newkirk, is referring to him as a fine young man. And he's encouraging arson, how to build fire bombs to defend animal rights. So,
and
yeah, PETA's an extremist wacko. Yeah.
Which confirms everything that I said to him, that he would rather see the suffering of millions of people over the suffering of a few beakless chickens.
Yeah. Good point. Hey, and, you know, millions of turkeys owe their very existence to Thanksgiving. If it wasn't for Thanksgiving, these turkeys would have never even lived. It's better to live and be eaten than never to have lived at all.
Well, I love turkeys.
Me too.
They're delicious. The main purpose that I've actually called, Bob, is
yes,
to get some practical wisdom on marriage.
All right.
I've been kind of debating an issue with a friend of mine concerning marriage and this this gross misinterpretation of what our founding fathers have discussed about separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And the idea of marriage coming up as, you know, the biblical institution, you know, instituted
right,
by God himself.
Right.
With the separation of church and state interpretation as we have it today, how is it that a Christian is to really look at marriage, mm-hmm, in the eyes of the government, having to go and get a marriage license and so on?
Okay, I could address that quickly, I think.
Okay.
If you go through the Bible and do a survey, I believe you'll find out that God expects us to acknowledge and to comply with the government's processing of marriages and divorce.
Okay.
God in the Bible doesn't say, here's the mechanism for getting married or getting divorced, but like in the end of the book of Ezra, they got divorced because the prophet told them to get divorced, and they did so according to the law. And in the Old and the New Testaments, there are divorces and remarriages, marriages, divorces, remarriages that God identifies, and they're done in the context of the government. So that unless if the government did something absolutely evil, For example, if the government said you can no longer get married, then there'd be a real problem there. But if the government says you need a marriage license, here's how we keep track. It costs money to keep track of who's married and who's not, so you get a marriage license. Biblically, that is the assumption in the Bible that the government manages who's married and who's not. When possible.
Okay.
If there is no government and you're on a deserted island, you could get married because you become the de facto government. But I think you'll find out if you do a survey, like the woman at the well with Jesus. And she said, I've been married. Jesus said to her, you've been married five times. And the guy you're shacking up with right now, you're not even married to. So she wasn't being married and divorced in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of the government. And Jesus acknowledged those. Jesus is the one who brought them out. She didn't say anything about it. And he said, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're shacking up with right now, you're not even married to. So Jesus acknowledged each of those marriages and divorces sequentially.
Well, you do know, you know, my son and my son's mother personally.
Oh.
And you do know the tragedy in which, you know, our marriage ended. You know, and I.
Oh, you know what, Mark? Until right now, I didn't know who I was talking to.
Do you now?
Yeah, now I remember.
Okay. Well, for, you know, she has been with.
Well, Mark, why don't we do this? Why don't you hold on?
Okay.
And after the show, and my wife is waiting for me in the studio here, but after the show, I'll chat with you for a minute.
Okay.
All right, hold on. And then let's go to Denver, Colorado. Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to last night's show, and I felt that, you know, it was a little more interesting than it usually is because there was, you know, some disagreement.
Yes.
However, I think that the guy that you had on the show as a guest was probably very frustrated. I think debating you would sort of be like nailing Jell-O to a wall, to use an old expression.
Okay.
You know, he'd say one thing and then he'd slide out from under it and answer that question with something that didn't have anything to do with the question.
Well, could you give
and
us,
also,
Carolyn,
think,
could you give us an example? Do you have an example? No?
Not really, because I just, I don't remember all the details of it last night. But,
right.
If I'd been able to talk to you last night, I probably would have.
Well, if you'd like,
I was paying attention.
Carolyn, if you'd like, you could re-listen to it on the web and call in with an
example. Well,
with
not with my computer, I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, yeah, I think I can.
Yeah, kgov.com.
Okay.
Yeah. You can listen to it, download it first, and then click on it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the few things that thing will do besides email.
Yeah, okay. All right, and then you could call in with it.
Oh, I did want to comment on the rapist.
Yes.
I think, this may sound like a joke, or I'm kidding, and it certainly isn't practical, but if women were in charge of dealing with guys like that, I think we'd have a lot less of that kind of thing.
Because you'd have them castrated.
Well, yeah, among other things.
Yeah, we conservative Christians, we would just execute them.
Well, I'm not a conservative Christian, but
no, that's,
whatever it takes,
yeah,
to
we,
come out of commission would be fine with me.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother got thrown off a jury one time. It was a rape case.
Oh.
And they were, well, she wasn't actually on the jury yet, but they said, do you have any strong feelings about this?
All right.
And she didn't come anywhere close. She had very strong feelings.
All right. Well, Carolyn, you have, you're invited to call in. We'll give you all the time you need to point out if I was unfair in how I treated Alan Jones.
I don't think it was unfair. It's just,
all right.
It's just that
if I was Jell-O to his hammer and nail. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.